Before I get started this week, I wanted to give a big shout out to Jeannie Coleman Coaching. Jeannie is a stress and TMS coach based in Los Angeles, the best coast. Her work involves not only a specialized focus on TMS, but also on helping clients transform important aspects of their life where they feel stuck or overwhelmed, like their career, their relationships, weight issues, confidence, purpose, life stressors, you name it. You'll find her to be compassionate, action-oriented, and results-driven. Really all the things that you need in a coach to create a meaningful change. Her holistic approach will help you make the changes that are important to you, and you'll walk away feeling empowered to continue to create the life that you want. One of the things that makes Jeannie such a great coach is she's been in the trenches with her own challenges like this, completely overwhelmed with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue that left her physically and mentally depleted. Simply put, she gets it because she's been there. After healing herself completely, Jeannie is now laser focused on delivering fast results to her clients through a one-on-one coaching program. This includes weekly support, consistency, and accountability. And the best part about working with Jeannie is that she takes the stress out of this process. She gives you a customized approach and a simple plan with tools and strategies that align with your individual lifestyle. I encourage you to book a free 45-minute call to learn more about the one-on-one program so you can fast-track your results. If you work with Jeannie, you'll embark on a transformative path where obstacles are overcome and breakthroughs will become the norm. Go to JeannieColwin.com, that's JeannieColwin.com, and book your free call today. Welcome back to the podcast. It is Thursday, August the 24th. Thank you so much for joining me today. Very quick intro. I got a plane to catch, but I wanted to make sure that I got this out there. I came across Joseph Vargas on Instagram not long ago. You can find him at Mind Body Talk. That's Mind Body, T-O-K, on Instagram. We go through a great conversation about him recovering from chronic pain, some of the different things that he researched along the way that he's helping people now with it. I'll put all this stuff in the show notes where you can find him on YouTube and Instagram down in the show notes. So make sure you check that out. Here is Joseph Vargas and I. Welcome back to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Eddie Lindenstein. I'm excited for today's interview. I've been following this guy on social for a bit. Puts out a lot of really great content. If you're not following him already, I would recommend that you do. He can be found on Instagram at MindBodyTalk. That's T-O-K on Instagram. And that's sort of where I came across him. And to be honest, I don't know exactly how I did. I don't know if somebody had recommended a video or it showed up in my reels or my feed or anything like that. But Joseph Vargas out of Upland, California, is here with me today. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How's it going, Eddie? Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much for being here. You know, I told you when we talked offline how rare I feel like I come across a male voice in the space. And if I do, a lot of times it's like medical doctor, physical therapist that is taking a divergent path and talking about mind, body, or TMS work or whatever. But really, that's kind of where it stops. And then I came across you, and you have a very, you captivated me in terms of how you talked, and it did grab my attention. So maybe we'll go there here in a few minutes, but tell us a little bit about you, you know, if you're comfortable with it, age and background and kind of what brought you into doing this stuff, this kind of content as it relates to chronic pain and chronic illness.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not an MD, I'm not a licensed therapist, I'm not a psychologist, even though sometimes I feel like one. I feel like I know damn near as much as one, if not more. But I'm 23. I grew up out here in California. I grew up in LA County, and I had TMS pop up here and there throughout my life. Didn't know what it was, and then it got really bad at some point. And you know, I went through the medical mill. The doctors didn't help me. It was horrible. It was horrible. It was traumatic. Eventually, I was just like, "Fuck it, I'll heal myself." So I became like a mad scientist. I started doing all kinds of research. I tried so many things. I changed my diet. I learned all about the body, how it works, metabolism, inflammation, all that. Nothing was working. And then I came across crazy. I was must have been on like page 8 of Google. I came across one of Dr. Sarno's books, read it, and that was how my journey started. And then I became pretty much the expert that I am now. And still, I continue to work on my mental health. So I continue to study. I continue to improve so that I can keep my mental health on point.
How long ago was that you kind of stumbled across Dr. Sarno's work?
That was summer of 2021.
Oh, wow. So fairly recently, so summer last couple of years.
Or was it 2020? It might have been 2020 or 2021. I don't remember exactly, but okay. It was for sure the last couple of years. Yeah, 2020 or 2021.
And what kind of issues were you dealing with prior to that? How long was it going on?
So the main thing, the one that was like debilitating and I became obsessed with it. It stole all my attention was CPPS. That's chronic pelvic pain syndrome. What they're labeling the female version of that would be interstitial cystitis, or what they're kind of labeling it for both males and females, like pudendoneuralgia. It's also something that shares similar symptoms, but it's all TMS. And yeah.
And when you were going to doctors and such, like, were they making it sound like this is something that can be solved or is curable, or was it kind of like this is something to manage?
I mean, dude, they weren't even telling me either or. They were just telling me, we don't know what's wrong with you. Like, I mean, literally, there was no direction that was offered to me. And I've seen some of the best doctors in the country.
Talk about some of the – which of the Sarno books did you read first?
So the first one I read was Healing Back Pain.
Okay.
So it was Healing Back Pain. Oh, go ahead.
Was there anything in particular in that book that captured your attention or maybe spoke to you, like jumped out where you were like, oh, there's no, like, this is what I've been looking for?
The personality part and the substitute for emotions part. Those two jumped out for me a lot. And actually after Healing Back Pain, I read, Divided Mind, and I was actually closing that book. I walk out of my room and my mother actually started an argument with me, and instead of getting angry, I had a flare up in symptoms, and I was like, this is it. Oh my God. It was this all along. And so that was a wonderful aha moment for me. Unfortunately, I was not a book here. So after that realization, it wasn't like my pain went away. The flare-up still very much happened, and I still very much had to do a lot of work to get out of pain. And I continue to do a lot of work to stay out, and I still have flare-ups here and there if I'm not managing my mental health.
So what kind of things are you do you do just on a regular basis to sort of almost like a maintenance plan, basically? Like, kind of talk about some of the things maybe that you do either day to day or week to week. Is it structured? Is it unstructured? Talk a little bit about that.
So it used to be very unstructured. I just recently started a structured approach where I have a daily study program. I limit the time that I am studying so that it doesn't become obsessive compulsive, because that's still a tendency that I have. I tend to want to do everything very obsessive compulsively. If I get interested or wrapped into something, it's like I can read about it all day. Yeah. And I won't eat, I won't sleep, I won't talk to anybody, and that's not a good thing. I'm saying this is like, I think society, I've told people about this tendency of mine before, and they're like, well, that's a good thing, like you're learning, you're reading. I'm like, no, like, you don't understand the type of anxiety that's behind that, that's driving it. And so I set a time limit as to not do that. But a lot of what I'm focused on now, since I know how to ignore symptoms, I know how to not fall into the 5 F's that I talk about so much: fear, focus, frustration, fighting, and fixing. But a lot of it is now based on my personality and behavior change around those personality traits, like perfectionism, workaholism, a lot of the things that I can easily fall back into that generate a lot of anxiety and tension that will get me right back into having TMS. So I work on that. It's a daily program. Sarno prescribed the daily study program for people getting out of pain. And I treat me working on these personality traits the same way as I did getting out of pain, which is I'm going to have to learn and I'm going to have to implement what I'm learning. So I'm continuing to do that.
Can you give me the five F's again? I want to write those down.
Of course. Fear, focus, frustration, fighting, and fixing. And I can go more into depth on those briefly if you'd like me to.
Yeah. Maybe that's actually a good next segue, is going through those and what they mean to you and what they ultimately mean to somebody that has symptoms like this.
Absolutely. It's very simple. I didn't make them up. I actually got them from Dr. Schubiner. Dr. Howard Schubiner is my favorite TMS doctor. So Dr. Schubiner made these up as a way for people to remember things that they need to be avoiding during their recovery process. It's important to note that a lot of these things are natural urges that are going to happen outside of your control at first. So, right, let's say your pain is present 24/7, and your brain is naturally going to have the urge to fight this pain, to fix the pain, right? That's any pain is going to trigger this problem solving urge in the brain. And so what Schubiner is saying to avoid the five F's is he's actually saying, so when that urge arises to fight, to fix, right, to be frustrated about it consciously, unconscious frustration is automatic frustration that you're going to feel. That's out of your control. Of course, you're going to be frustrated if you're in pain or if you've been pain for a long time. You're going to feel frustrated. Your job now is not to add to that. So we're not adding to our frustration with complaining, with verbalizing these feelings, right? So our job is to just kind of allow these feelings to be there and just leave them there and not add to them. And so avoiding the five F's is the first thing I teach my clients in my coaching practice, which is what I do now. I just started that about 7 months ago because, believe it or not, after CPPS, I actually got CRPS.
Oh, wow.
Because I hadn't addressed my personality yet. And so I got a symptom imperative because there were so many things I still needed to deal with. But, I kind of lost my train of thought. Oh, yes, five F's. So with the five F's, what you want to do is you avoid those things. And that teaches the brain that the pain itself is not a threat. So the whole goal of getting out of pain is to teach the brain, one, that the pain is not a threat. The other half of it is the personality portion that will prevent the pain from being generated even in the first place.
And is this something primarily that you're just sort of are you re-saying it to yourself over and over? Like, what's kind of the way to be able to implement this and continue it going for you?
Yeah, dude, it's tough. It's tough. And, I was just kind of working I'm working on a book right now. And one thing that I put in there just today as I was writing was that your recovery from TMS is directly and very literally connected to how fast and how well you learn these concepts and implement them. Right. So that's why Dr. Sarno, his treatment plan was the lectures. You had to attend these lectures. And that's why even after the lectures, he prescribed a daily study program, because this is all about learning. That's why Dr. Schubiner's book is called Unlearn Your Pain.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get the brain to unlearn this pain if it's been chronic. And then additionally, we're wanting the brain, the other half of recovery is we're wanting the brain to unlearn some of these personality traits that you've been feeding with your behavior for a long time. And we need to undo those as well. So how can you learn? One, daily study program is a must. Yes, I give that to all my clients. You need to be studying, learning something about TMS. Preferably, you need to be studying daily, like your action steps. So avoid the five F's. That's something you need to be learning, studying daily. So you need to know this like the back of your hand so that you can recognize it and stop it. It's very hard to do this at first. You might not even recognize it until you're 5 minutes into complaining about your pain, which would be frustration.
Yeah.
As one of the five F's, right? So if you're not studying this stuff, you're not going to catch it. This is innate. Nobody, I always say this, nobody has to teach you how to complain about your pain. It's innate. Unfortunately, that's what keeps you in pain. So you do have to learn, and it is not innate, to not complain about your pain, to allow, to accept, right? So we need to be keeping these things fresh. When people are new, I even say do it in the morning and at night before bed. But another thing that I would say is these study tips that I just learned them recently, and I've been using them for other things that I'm learning as too, certain things you could do while you're learning is after you read and after your time's up, you can summarize these things in your own words. So this is something that's proven to increase learning speed because there's two types of learning that I just learned about. There is the type of learning where you can recognize information. And I think a lot of TMS people are stuck at that. And then there's the other type of learning where you actually know it. And when you actually know it, then you can actually implement it. Like if I told you, Eddie, go change the oil in your car and you don't know how to do it, well, you can't do it. So you need to know how to do it, and then you need to go do it. And a lot of TMSers, they're great at reciting information from books, right? They're great at like reciting Sarno. That was me for a long time. I was great at like repeating the information. I'd read a book and I'd be like, yeah, I know this. But when game time came and I was out in the real world, I'd forget and I wouldn't actually know. So summarizing things in your own words after your reading time or your study time, whatever, is also a good way to reinforce the knowledge. Get that knowledge in your subconscious mind so that it's easier to recall when you're out in the real world.
I've never heard it said like that. That might be as good of a suggestion as I've heard, though. And I'm going to restate in my own words. So tell me if what I'm understanding is wrong, which is exactly the exercise here. But it's like, say that I read Sarno's book, I read Schubiner's book, and I understand the concepts. Like I can read a textbook and I can recite it back to you and tell you what it is. But unfortunately, that information doesn't really stick until I can not regurgitate it, but restate it to you in the words and the way to which I talk. And my example in the TMS realm is, what's a good example? Okay, so for the first year or so in which I understood a lot of this stuff, I would keep kind of pointing almost to like to the word of stress or life stressors or things that are going on, but I would use like the Sarno-esque terminology about it. And then as time went on, when the warning light would go off, which is I start to get a minor symptom, nothing that was debilitating, but a minor symptom, I started to rephrase what was going on as, this is just a bunch of bullshit. Like there's a bunch of bullshit going on. That's kind of what I would say to myself. And that would kind of lower the stakes, and I'm restating it to myself. That kind of sounds like what you're talking about in a way.
It is. It is. And I think the key here, and it's a learning principle as well. It's better to know concepts than information. Information is where you get caught in, oh, I recognize that, but like you don't really know it. Concepts is when you can literally take the car apart and put it back together.
Yeah.
Now, it with TMS, it's not that complicated. Like it's less complicated than a car, to be honest. Way more. I mean, way less complicated than taking a car apart and putting it back together. But knowing the concepts is so important. And when you can put something into your own words, that's how you know that you understand the concept. And understanding the concepts is great insurance against perfectionism in recovery as well, because when we get caught up in certain scripts and self-talk scripts and certain modalities, we create eggshells that to avoid, and like we box ourselves in, oh, I can only do this one thing right here to help my pain. And I'll use journaling as an example to reinforce what I'm talking about. So one person gets better by journaling. A different person journals and says that it made them worse. Is it the journaling that makes people better, or is it something else? That shows us that it's not the journaling itself. It's something that the journaling is doing. It's a concept here that we need to understand. And with journaling, that concept is actually exposure to your own emotions minus spiraling afterwards. A lot of people journal and then they spiral afterwards because they just put some trauma onto the page, or they put some life stressor, and then now they're ruminating and obsessing about it after they're journaling. And then they're going to say journaling doesn't work. No, journaling works if you don't spiral after, just like talking to a therapist works if after you talk to a therapist you don't spiral after. So it's not even the journaling in the first place. The concept is exposing yourself to your feelings and your thoughts without spiraling afterwards. Dr. Eric Sherman talks about this when he talks about how he goes through his traumas with his clients. He calls it affect tolerance. So can you get this client to tolerate unpleasant thoughts and emotions and tolerate it and just sit in it and allow it instead of pushing it away the way we do with our pain, right? The way we naturally will do with our pain is we fight it. We try and fix it. The goal with journaling is to put your shit on the page and not try and fix it. It's there. That's it. Crumble it. Throw it in the trash. So that's just an example of how understanding concept is much better than specific modalities and like specific themes.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I haven't, again, like I haven't had it said to me in that way. And one thing, by the way, because I have this note here about the five F's piece. Can you give me what, so focus and fixing are the only two that I'm kind of having a hard time grasping.
Mm-hmm. Focus and fixing. Perfect. And I want to, I'll bring up this concept example with the five F's. The whole thing about the five F's is we need to get you to stop engaging with the pain totally. So somebody that, and this is why people get results with, oh, this pain's never going to go away. I don't give a fuck no more. That encapsulates all the five F's all in one. So that might be one way that somebody gets to not doing the five F's, but fear, and you said focus and fixing, right?
Those are the two.
Cool. So focus is attention. Attention is a nuanced thing. So I'm glad that you asked about it. There's attention and awareness. Those are two separate things. When pain is present, you're going to be aware that it's there. Your job is not to pay attention to it. So attention, awareness, two separate things. Focus falls into the attention category. We don't want to focus on the pain, which means, are you going to notice it's there? Yep. Are we going to zoom in on it? Nope. That's what focus means. Is that clear?
Gotcha. Yep.
Cool. And then fixing would be doctor shopping, any fixing activity, doctor shopping, thinking, even in your thinking, in a cognitive behavior, if you're thinking anything like, how can I make this go away right now? What can I do to get immediate relief right now? How can I make this go away? Oh my gosh, how is this going to go away? How long is this going to last for? I need to fix this right now before I'm in pain forever. Stuff like that.
What is, what's kind of your take or your opinion, you know, scorching hot take, you can be as explicit with this as you want, but you know, there's lots of times where people that I know that don't necessarily, you know, buy into or believe that the nervous system or that emotions or things like that can cause the litany of issues that it can. So they'll go see a chiropractor, or they'll go see a PT, or they'll go see an NKT therapist, or like there's all different types of modalities they could go see. Like, and they'll do this over and over and over. What is your, like, how do you, what's your response to that? If it was a friend of yours, you know, that continues to go and see people over and over like that.
So you're asking me like people that reject the knowledge, like how do I respond to that?
Yep, exactly.
Perfect, perfect. Before I get into that, I did want to add to the fixing activities. Very popular fixing activities, heating pads, stretching, massaging, poking, prodding, cup therapy, like all these things, they're not inherently bad on their own, even though Sarno thought so. I don't agree with Sarno on that one. It's the attitude behind it. If you're doing it compulsively for immediate relief, it's bad. It's going to hurt your recovery because you're teaching the brain that the pain is a threat. This whole thing is about teaching the brain that the pain is not a threat. And then also on the emotional part that these, you don't need these emotional defense mechanisms because there's no threat present.
Yep.
So with the heating pad and all, as long as you're not doing it compulsively and you do it as an act of self-care, that's fine. But if you're doing it for immediate relief, those fixing activities will keep you in pain. So I'll move on to what you said. When somebody rejects the knowledge, I don't force it on them. I don't force it on them. Sarno didn't force it on them. Nobody, you know, I'm not going to make you believe that you can heal. Like, and honestly, I don't feel bad for those people. Like if you cannot see this, there's nothing I can tell you that's going to make you see it. And if you are rejecting this knowledge, but you won't even take the time to read a book, I don't even want to hear you complain about your pain.
Yeah.
Because when I was in pain, I was willing to do anything. I was willing to read whatever. Like, you don't think that when I found Sarno's information that I thought it was fucking weird? Like, the way I found it, I was actually on a forum and these people were like, yeah, my RSI is so debilitating, but I read this book and it got better. You don't think that sounds fake as fuck?
Yep.
Like, of course it sounds weird. Of course it sounds fake. Y'all got to understand that sometimes some shit in the world is counterintuitive. Get out of your biases and what you know and step out of that and admit to yourself that maybe there's something that you don't know in this world that you can learn. So that's what I would say to that. And I would say this, whether you believe this shit or not is true. The truth don't give a fuck about your feelings, your biases, your opinions. So if you want to keep rejecting the truth, stay in pain, keep suffering.
Is that kind of the same response that you, like, people that are in your inner circle, whether it be family or friends or whatever, that were aware of this kind of longstanding issue that you had, and then you had this, miracle's not the right word, but you did have a rapid turnaround from an unorthodox place. Was that kind of, was the response a little skeptical, or was it, or did people seem to buy in because they know you?
Fuck no. Both my dad and my stepmom have TMS and they still don't believe it. Even after they just seen me go from depressed and like a fraction of who I was to now who I am. Like they still, my father, he's had shoulder pain and he's done every physical modality you can think of and it hasn't gotten better. And he's just like, I mean, the good thing about him is he accepts his pain, which is good. It keeps it from getting worse.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing nothing to get rid of it because he don't really buy into this stuff. And that's fine. Like, I can't force him to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I gave my mom one of Sarno's books a couple of years ago, and it was like an automatic reaction. She just said, you know, my pain is real, right? And that was it. That was that. We haven't talked about it since. And that was a pretty dramatic, you know, that was right after like a pretty dramatic recovery from me.
One thing I'd like to point out, Eddie, is that, you know, Sarno said that's a part of the defense mechanism, and it is. It is. So you're telling me that you're telling someone they can get better, and the first thing that their brain comes up with is my pain real?
Yeah.
Are you serious? Like, the defense is so thick, it's so strong, that why would that be your first thought? Like, continue.
Yeah, I don't know. And I mean, that's kind of been the, there was something else, my oldest brother, because he kind of has, you know, issues that have flared up and popped up and all this kind of stuff over the last 15 years. I mean, really as long as I can remember. And I had made this is kind of why I stopped talking about a lot of this stuff in public. Like on Facebook, writing out in forums or doing Instagram stories or whatever, like I don't talk about this stuff at all. Despite doing 300 episodes of this, I don't promote it really at all. I don't really talk about it at all. And a lot of it was I got a response. It wasn't just from him, but I was talking about how, you know, back pain and all these things, they do exist, but it's not from the original, you know, it's not, the origins of it are not where you think that they are. And it was, that was kind of the angle that I was going. And he said, except disc herniations or whatever, like all that stuff is real and it's the cause and it's the root or whatever. That was kind of the last conversation around that we had. And I feel, you know, I feel bad's not the right word because I don't really feel all that bad, but there are lots of times that, family reunions or gatherings or whatever, that once people get in those circles where, you know, it starts out with how's life been going, and then somebody says, oh, this health issue's happening, and then everybody kind of joins into it, that's usually where I have to exit the conversation. And I felt bad about it for like a little bit, but that didn't last long because it was just like, you know, it's a drain on me, and I can't, I grit my teeth at it. Cause it's like being really, it's like being really, really good at like a video game and watching somebody play that video game completely wrong. That's kind of what I think. That's kind of what comes to mind.
Yeah. And you know what, Eddie, something that I do now, like I just randomly developed a strategy. Like, I don't care. I'm going to tell someone cause I wish I had somebody tell me. Like, I wish one of my friends, if they knew about this, they told me, even if I didn't believe it. So what I do is I'll say it. I will say it. And if they reject it, I'm not going to argue with them. And now if they ask questions, what I do is I say, I direct them the resources. I say, hey, go on my Instagram or go read this book. Before I had my Instagram, I say, check out this book, take it or leave it. It's up to you. But I just want you to know this is available. And then I leave it at that.
Yep.
And if they're not willing to go and read a book or go find resources, they ain't desperate enough. That's all it is. They ain't desperate enough.
Yeah, that's about as far as I'll take it. Is like, if it's somebody that I really care about and they've had an issue for a long time and I don't think they'll give me a really negative response, that is literally about the barrier, like the barricade that I'll go. I'll just say, there's this book. I think you should check it out. It's a great read. It doesn't take that long. He was a doctor from NYU, hoping to lower the gates. And if they ask me more questions later on, that's great. I'll answer them. But that's usually where I leave it, is right there. You know, shifting gears, and one of the things that I definitely want to get some of your take on is, and we talked about this a little bit off air, but there is a litany of coaches out there that work with clients for TMS and mind body stuff, but the vast majority of them are female. In fact, I can't remember somebody without a medical designation that was a male that does regular coaching and content on this stuff. Tell me why you think that is, or why that is. What is it about men that I think there's actually been studies that fibromyalgia slightly favors women, meaning more women suffer from it. Like, let's say it's not overwhelming. It might be 60% or something like that. But there's just as many men out there that have these common frequent problems. But then, you know, you could be led to believe that there could have been an equal number of recoveries to women, but I do not see, it's like 10 to 1, I'll say, of men that I see talking about it.
Yeah, man. And I'm going to go into it, and, you know, some people might not like me for saying this stuff, but it is what it is. This is my view. I share this with my clients. I talk about this on my Instagram. We're different. Men and women are different. Okay. Women are the most emotional out of both of us. Right. So I think women, if they have these defense mechanisms in place that cause TMS, right? Like low affect tolerance, meaning they can't tolerate emotions, right? And you're a woman, and you're a woman, and you have woman emotions. I just think that's a risk. You're more prone to TMS. That's all it is. So that same defense mechanism in a man may not cause as much kind of, it might not fill up that bucket of rage, as Sarno talks about, as much, because we're not generating as strong of emotions in a lot of cases. Now, that's not to say that we all don't get TMS and we're not all extremely emotional. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that's my theory. So I think I think just more women have TMS in general. It's not by a lot. Like you said, it's probably a 60-40 thing. But as far as the people in my life that I know that have TMS, a lot of them are women. More of them are women than men that I know.
Yeah.
The other thing that I would like to say is that women are more likely, because of ego reasons, societal standards of what it is to be a man and what it is to be a woman, and you know, traditional masculine and feminine traits that we have pressure to follow. I think women are more likely to seek help. I think women are more likely to do research. Women are more likely to complain about their pain, which might lead to a solution. Sometimes you complain and the right person hears and they give you a solution. I think women are more likely to continue seeking help even after their doctor, they've exhausted their options in the medical industry. So I think all those things contribute to that. And then because of that, more women heal and more women become coaches. And thank God for all the women coaches. Shout out, what is it? Rita La Barbera Tamara. They're two of my favorites, man. They're badasses.
Yeah. I had them on a number of months ago, and complex regional pain syndrome is one. They were the first one, actually, I think the only ones that I interviewed that had that. But the thing that really struck me was how definitive they are in their language about it. There is no, like, there's not an ounce of doubt in the stuff that they talk about, and that was really nice.
There's no room. There's no room for that, and that's why I'm the same way. I'm like Dr. Sarno. I'm gonna tell you the truth, and you can take it or leave it.
That's awesome. Well, we're wrapping up on the last couple of minutes here. Is there anything additional maybe that we didn't talk about that's on the tip of your tongue, or anything that maybe we didn't cover, recent concepts or stuff like that that's come to mind that we should chat about?
Yeah, just a few small things. One, therapy. Don't trust every therapist. There's a lot of bad therapy out there. That's just the truth. I'm sorry. It's the truth. If your therapist doesn't know about TMS at all, or the mind-body connection, completely discard them. And even if they do, and you know, you feel like it's going nowhere and you're actually applying what they're saying, not you're trying, not you thinking you are, then drop them too and find somebody who can actually help you. The other thing that I would say is, don't work this thing backwards. TMS is from anxiety and fear and an overactive nervous system, but that's the effect. That nervous system and anxiety is the effect of two things. Like I mentioned earlier, it's really this simple. Your aversion to unpleasant emotions and pain, because pain is an emotion, they're the same thing. If it's TMS, right? Not if you sprain your ankle playing basketball, but when you have psychosomatic pain, it's the same thing as an emotion. So you need to learn how to tolerate those things without 5F-ing about them, without trying to push them away, without ruminating, okay? And then the second part of this is your TMS personality, which all that is a bunch of defense mechanisms that your brain tries to use to protect you from pain, disappointment, rejection, unpleasant experiences in life. But all it does, as you can tell, is make your life fucking miserable. So work on those two things. Don't forget those two things. You need them both. Some people, they only need one. Some people only need one or the other. A lot of people need both. So if you're still in pain, if you know about TMS and you're like, what the fuck? I know about this. I'm still not better. Okay. Either you're missing something from those two things, or you just need to keep going and do it longer and do it longer and keep retraining your brain. So it's either going to be it's a finite amount of things that you need to improve on if you're still having TMS and you don't know where to go from here. So I'll leave it at that. The next thing is, you can always hit me up. I'm coaching. I can pinpoint what's wrong. Sometimes we have blind spots we can't see. You can hit up another TMS coach or a good reputable TMS therapist who knows what they're doing, can also help you find your blind spots. So I'll leave it at that.
Joseph, thanks for being here. Again, Instagram at mindbodytalk, T-O-K, all one word on Instagram. You can check him out there. Joseph, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Eddie.
All right, man. Take care.